Walked up a hill and laid down his precious life . Oh, not just any life, but the one that stood there on creation day and said, "It is good," humbled himself, took on the robe of flesh, oh, Lamb of God. Worship you, O Lamb of God. We bow before you, O Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. All your sons and daughters cry out for your revelation. All the rocks cry out for your revelation.
Thank you today. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, there is none like you. And we thank you, Lord. You've given us your authority. You've given us your power. You've given us your Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us. And Lord, you've given us also, Lord, the weapons of warfare that we need to fight the demon forces and enemies of darkness, Lord, and Satan and all of his power. We thank you that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we have what we need to overcome, to fight, to win. We thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew, good stuff. I know that last song is probably a little different than what we normally do there, but you know, sometimes you don't have to know the words. You don't even have to be able to sing along. You just worship Jesus. You just lift him up. Amen. So good. Good to worship this morning. All right. Well, as usual, it's none of the above that I thought yesterday. So we're going to get into this morning. I'll get a message for you. I feel it's important because there's a lot of testimonies coming in, a lot of people going through a lot of spiritual battle. And even though I've taught on this in the last few years, I felt it important to focus on this again. You're going to see there's some pertinent things in the news, but most Christians don't get this about binding demons and breaking curses. And I can't stress how vital it is to understand these two principles in spiritual warfare. So I'm going to share this with you. We're going to go through some scriptures this morning, so I hope you have your Bible because we're going to go through quite a few this morning, and I may even throw in some that are not here on the PowerPoint. But anyway, binding demons and breaking curses. Now, let's go to this verse here. Everybody ought to be really familiar with Ephesians 6:12. It's very clear, isn't it? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, some translations will say wicked spirits in high places. We are dealing constantly, folks, with evil spirits. And we're dealing constantly, and this is something you need to remember as we get into this morning, we're dealing constantly with evil spirits that are in people and even in Christians. Yes, Christians have demons. If you haven't noticed that recently, just start talking about flat earth, right? You'll find some demons in some Christians and start talking about biblical cosmology and creation. But we got to remember that this battle, even when we're dealing with people, that what rises up in them, a lot of times it's not them. It's not even, sometimes it's not even their thoughts. It's just demonic spirits. And listen, many, many people, it's very clear. The Bible's very clear in Ephesians 2. It says that the spirit of the world, the prince and the power of the air, he works in the children of disobedience, right? That's what it says. Well, he works in some born-again children, too, who give place to him. Now, if it wasn't possible for Christians to give place to the devil, then why did Paul say in Ephesians 4:27 to Christians, give no place to the devil? So that the flip side of that coin is that, yeah, you can. And we do give place to the devil, and I'm going to tell you, our main way we give place to the devil as born-again Christians is through passivity. It's through ignorance and passivity and not employing the weapons that God's given us. We've been taught wrong for too many years in the church world that if you're born again and you're covered by the blood of Jesus, then the devil can't touch you, right? We've been told that stuff, but it's just not true, okay? Yes, there is a level of protection, but God expects us to pick up the weapons of our warfare. Even that in Ephesians 6 here, if we go on and read, it talks about the armor of God. And listen, that's not something that's passive. I don't know if you've ever seen a soldier with a shield and a sword, but he's fighting with everything he's got. He's using the shield even to hit with. He's using the shield to quench the fiery darts. He's using the sword. And I just remind you, think about Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew 4, Luke 4. Jesus in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, is he passively sitting there and just taking it? No, he is speaking God out of his mouth that pertains to how the devil's attacking him. So it's active. And that's just what you got to remind yourself. Spiritual warfare is active. And if the devil didn't leave Jesus the first moment Jesus spoke the word, and it took three times with Jesus, how many times do you think it might take you to resist him and run him off when you're getting attacked or tempted or tormented in your mind or attacked in your body or whatever? You're going to have to become a warrior. You're going to have to become a fighter. And it's usually not a one-round fight. It's not, you know, I'm going to win this 30 seconds in the first round type thing. Sometimes it's a 15-round fight, and you got to fight to the end. I mean, any fighter knows this. If you, even in the 12th round, in the 13th round, in the 15th round, if you let your hands down and become passive, you will get knocked out, right? You cannot be passive. The good news is if we use the weapons God's given us, we can win. If we don't, we won't win, all right? Now, this is an important verse here. Because I know for a fact, because two of my best friends and even my brother, after I led these three guys to the Lord back in the late 80s, they went off to Bible school, Bible college. And I'll tell you where, because I'm not ashamed to say it, because I didn't go there. But Lakeland, it was the Assemblies of God Bible School in Lakeland, Florida. And what makes it so sad is this was a Pentecostal Bible school that should know better. But their professors were teaching them that it was not biblical to bind demons. Now, I'm going to explain how you do that this morning, but they were saying it wasn't biblical in the sense of spiritual warfare. And you know why they said that? Because they took Matthew 18, where it talks about binding and loosing in the context of forgiveness and unforgiveness. And they would take that, but they would ignore this one. Because you know why? This one, binding and loosing, is in the context of the gates of hell not prevailing against the church. Now, I look at it like this. That's pretty important. What is the gates of hell prevailing against the church? Wouldn't that be in the context of spiritual warfare against Satan and his demonic forces? Absolutely. So here's what Jesus said. Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19 here, he said these words. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now when he's talking about heaven here, he's talking about the spiritual realm. There is a principle, and these are keys. Now, I don't have my keys. Somebody hand me the keys real quick. Let me see your keys. All right. Now, keys are pretty important, right? I imagine the key to your car, key to your house, pretty important stuff, right? Now, if I tell you, Nathan, I'm giving you, let's say these are my keys to my car out there. I say, look, Nathan, I'm giving you the keys. Do what you will. All right? Am I going to do anything for you? Am I going to go crank the car up for you? Am I going to go drive you around? No, no, no. What am I doing? I'm handing it over to you, and I'm giving you the keys. Now, if you put them in your pocket and say, thanks, Pastor Dean, I appreciate that, put them in your pocket and do nothing. Do you benefit at all from the car, from the power of the car, from the purpose of the car? No. This is what the church does. Jesus said, this is a key here. These are keys. This is very important. I'm giving you two things that you better get a hold of, or else, what is the consequences of not getting a hold of this? The gates of hell prevailing against you. All right? Listen, many Christians, I've been counseling Christians for 30 plus years. What do I see Christians beat up mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, in every way? Beat up, I mean. Why? For the most part, it's ignorance, and it's a lack of understanding, and it's a lack of knowledge about fighting, or ignorance in giving place to the devil. Usually, you know, Proverbs 26:2 says, the curse without a cause will not come. There's always a cause. There's always a reason that we have problems with the devil. And the Lord just wants us to fight. I'm not saying it's going to be easy sometimes. It's going to be difficult, but you got to fight. Now, binding and loosing, very important. Let me explain. Well, let's go through some more scriptures, and then I'll explain more about this, binding and loosing. Here's another place where Jesus talked about binding in the context of dealing with demon spirits. All right, this is Matthew 12:29. Jesus said these words. He says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind, the Greek meaning here is to fasten or tie, as with chains, as an animal tied to keep from leaving. But Jesus said, how can you enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods unless you first bind the strong man, and then you can spoil his house. Now, this is in the context of Jesus casting demons out of a boy, and the Pharisees saying he was doing it by Beelzebub, the chief of the demons. And he said, no, he said, it proves I'm stronger than the devil. Why? Because I can bind the strong man. I can enter his house, this world. I can enter this house, and I can bind him. But then didn't he just say a minute ago? He gave us the key to bind. Right? Very important. So again, the context of these two passages, dealing with demons, dealing with spiritual warfare. All right, let's keep going. Now let's look at Mark 16. This is Mark 16, 15 through 20. If you have a Bible in the margins that says that this shouldn't be in your Bible, you might want to throw that Bible out and get you another one, because the commentary is lying to you. All right? Here's what Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 through 20. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What's the first thing he said? In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Look at this. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now again, the ancient manuscripts have this included in it. So why anybody would say it shouldn't be in the Bible, I don't know. But the principle here, does Jesus say, hey, I tell you what, you go into the world to preach the gospel, and I'll handle the demons in people, or I'll handle the demons attacking. No. Where do we get that from? What do we find out? He says what? You, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Just like I just handed to Nathan a minute ago. I give you the keys. You do it. In my name, you cast them out. The word, the phrase here, take up serpents, anybody knows or ought to know better. How many have seen this video lately, the preacher in Kentucky or Tennessee with the rattlesnakes and that thing chomped down on his ear? A sign for you that that's not what this is talking about, right? Right? No, it's not about real serpents. Jesus said in Luke 10:19 this. He said, behold, I give you power or authority over all the power of the enemy to tread on what? Serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. So this is, Satan is called that old serpent, the devil. Now the word take up here means to suspend. When you bind the demons, it's different than casting a demon out. All right? Binding demons is a temporary stop, suspension of however they're, whatever they're doing, however they're acting. And that's why you have to do it from time to time, especially when you're dealing with people who the devil's working through to attack you. You have got to just bind the demons. Because let me just say this. We don't go around casting demons out of unsaved people. Why? Because Jesus said, if the unclean spirit goes out of a man, Matthew 12:43-45, if the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he says he walks through dry places seeking rest, he finds them, then he says, I'll return to my house from whence I came out. And when he comes back, he says, the house is clean. But then he says something else about it. It's empty. And what happens? That spirit takes seven more wicked than themselves, they enter in there. So it's never a biblical principle, ever, to cast demons out of someone who's not saved or walking with Jesus. They have to really express the desire first to walk with Jesus, show true repentance, and then you can bind the demons and cast them out of them, and then they can stay free because the house won't be empty. The house will have Jesus in it. All right? The binding, what you do with binding, binding is not casting them out. Binding is stopping them from doing what they're doing. Give you a little testimony of this. There was a certain individual, and I'm going to be very careful so that no one can identify this person. But there was a certain individual who just is full of demons, and I know they're full of demons. And they just decided to attack me and my wife like nobody's business. I mean, even to the point of, let's just put it was serious what they were trying to do in attacking us, okay? It wasn't just mental, emotional. It was actually even legal action, okay, trying to attack us. So anyway, this person came to my house one day and was basically cussing people out, cussed out the Frick family, cussing at me, fussing at me, and, you know. So my wife's on the porch. This is no joke. My wife's on – you guys were there last night. My wife's standing on the porch. This is going on out in the yard, right? So my wife, very quietly, standing next to the Fricks, just says, in Jesus' name, I bind the demons in this person. The person's feet swept out from underneath her. Nobody was near her, touched her. Her feet swept out from under. She landed on her butt on the ground. She got up, shut her mouth, didn't say another word, left our property, didn't come back for 6 months, and then after that, been sweet as pie, right? Why? Because you know what we continually do? We continually bind the demons of anger, jealousy, strife, division, working in her. We bind them every so often, just, you know, when it comes to mind, in Jesus' name, I bind the demons operating. And you know what? Our relationship has completely changed, right? Why? Because we don't wrestle. We weren't wrestling with flesh and blood. We were wrestling with the demons in her, okay? And this is common stuff that goes on all the time. In fact, you ought to try this when you're witnessing to people. When you're witnessing to people, And I know anybody that goes out and talks to anybody about Jesus, or you're trying to communicate, have you ever seen that blank haze that comes over them when you're trying to talk? It's like all of a sudden you notice they're not hearing a word I'm saying. It's just bouncing off. It's like rubber ball to cement room. It's just not getting through. But I can tell you this. This happened with my own mother. All right, my mother, the night before I led my mom to Jesus, this was actually, it was Christmas time, 1987. So my mom comes home. I'm visiting for Christmas. My brother and I are watching some preacher on TV. I don't even remember who it was. My mom's been out drinking a little bit and partying with my stepdad, as they did, totally unsaved, just, you know, living the secular life. She comes in, I guess, seeing the preacher on TV just set her off, right? So her and my stepdad, they start losing their mind. I mean, cussing us like dog. Even got a gun pulled on me that night, all right? Which wasn't the first time I had to take a gun away from my stepdad, all right? So, yeah, it got real quick in my house. But anyway, long story short, I'm dealing with my stepdad who's just pulled a gun on me. And my brother's in the kitchen, and my mom's in the kitchen, and I'm in another room. I'm in the living room. And my mom, I can hear her just screaming, just going, da 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 da. And we were trying to just talk peacefully to him because, you know, we'd both gotten saved. I'd led my brother to the Lord. Well, finally, my brother knew about this. He just got fed up with it in the kitchen, and I heard him say, I heard him just yell it, in the name of Jesus, I bind the demons in you, at my mom. In Jesus' name, shut up. She was like full-blown mode, you know, the full cuss-out mode, right? Stop. Sat down at the table. Got my drunk stepdad and the gun away from him. Came back in there. Got to talk to my mom peacefully for the next couple of hours. She went to bed. That was a Saturday night. She got up the next morning. My stepdad got up. They called him into work. He never got called into work on Sunday morning. He gets called into work. I tell my brother and sister, you guys going to church. I'm staying here. And I went and talked to my mom for the next few hours and led her in a salvation prayer to receive Jesus. And she told me that was the day she was born again. And of course, my mom passed away in 2010, but I know where she is. This is what I'm talking about, this key. It really does stop. It suspends. It halts. What the demon's doing. I didn't cast the demon out because I didn't want to make her worse, but I did stop it, make it stop. My brother did in that situation. My wife did, and I've done it too. So just know this right here, the word take up serpents, suspend, lift up, all right? It's interesting, the word aero in Greek here, take up, that phrase, means to raise the voice, speak with authority. It's not being timid about it, all right? Now let's look at this right here. This is an important verse. We overlook. Now, of course, people get criticized within the Word of Faith movement simply for teaching this principle. But I'm sorry, I don't care if you don't like a certain prosperity preacher. I understand those people are, you know, Creflo Dollar, you know, preacher named Dollar, right? A prosperity. It's just too weird. You know, start talking about I need a $60 million plane. No, we're not talking about that. But there's a principle here. Look at this, and you need to understand this. Christians need to understand this principle because I'm going to tell you the witches and the Satanists and our enemies understand this principle. The death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit of it. Okay? Death and life's in the power of the tongue. You need to understand that. Because can I just tell you right now, you're not just in a war with demon spirits, with Satan. You are in a war also with the words and the curses of other people. And these things, you can say in your head all you want to, they have no effect upon me. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. Words are powerful. Even if those words create within us confusion or doubt or fear or worry or anxiety, they're affecting us. But always remember this. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say when he was talking? Remember John 6? When he was talking about about communion and eating his flesh and drinking his blood and all that, what did he say? He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Small s, spirit. Everybody needs, if you get one thing out of today, get this into you. Words are spiritual. That's why they're so powerful. They're not just sound. They're powerful. That's why this says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, how do we deal? How do you bind a demon? For instance, let me just tell you. What is Matthew 8 says this. Matthew 8 says Jesus cast out spirits with his word, meaning he spoke to them. And, you know, I tell people all the time, well, they say, well, how do I know what demon to bind? Well, what is it doing? I mean, Jesus came up to a boy who was deaf and dumb, and he said, hey, it's not rocket science. Deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him, right? He walked up to a woman, had an infirmity, had a disease. It was crippling her. What did he say? Spirit of infirmity? Come out of her, loose her, let her go. Right? It's not difficult. If you're getting attacked in your mind by lust, guess what? Just bind the spirits of whordoms, lust, perversion. The spirit of whoredoms is mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Hosea. Spirit of perverse spirits mentioned in Isaiah. And you just say, in the name of Jesus, I bind the demon spirits of lust, perversion, whoredom, attacking my mind, and I command you to stop and go from me in Jesus. That's how you fight this. You bind them. You first bind the strong man, and then you spoil his house. You rebuke him, and you command him to go from you. Do Christians do this for the most part? No, we're lazy. We're passive. We get beat up. Oh, and then we let them trick us into believing that these thoughts are our thoughts. And they're not. Bind it up. So it's done. These things are done by, what, everybody say this way, speaking. We got to speak something out of our mouth. What did Jesus do when the devil was tempting? What did he do? Spoke. He used the sword of the Spirit. Well, how do you use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? He had to say it out of his mouth, right? How do you bind the devil? You have to say it out of your mouth. I bind you in Jesus' name. How do you cast out a devil? I command you to leave. I cast you out. You go in Jesus' name. See, you have to say it. You say it. That's how these things work. Let's keep going here, theoretically. Now, let's look at Psalm 55. We're going to read this. This is a short chapter, but I want to read it. Because David, King David, understood far more spiritual warfare. A lot of his psalms were not about physical battles, even though he was a warrior. He would talk about spiritual warfare. And I want you to notice how he talks about this battle he was in with words of an enemy. All right, so let's read it. This is Psalm 55, verses 1 through 8. We'll read here first. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy. You hear that? Because of the voice of the enemy. Because of the oppression of the wicked. Now, he's going to tell you in a minute that this oppression of the wicked is coming from their tongue, from their words. All right? Because we're talking about two things. We're binding demons and breaking curses. All right? So he goes on to say, he says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. So these are people not liking it, enemies. He says, my heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Now, let me explain to you something. How many of you have ever felt just all of a sudden an overwhelming attack? Come on. Fear, anxiety, torment. And it gets so bad, you start feeling, literally, you start feeling this terror. David knows exactly. And he's not talking about somebody walking up to him with a sword and threatening him. He wasn't worried about that. Remember, this guy fought a lion and a bear, and Goliath. That wasn't his worries. He's like, oppression of the wicked, the oppression of the enemy, the voice of the enemy, their words. Are tormenting me so, he said, my heart is pain, the terrors of death are upon me, fearfulness and trembling all over me. Lo, he said, I would wander off and remain in the wilderness, would hasten my escape from the storm, the windy storm and tempest. He's talking about a spiritual attack. Let's keep reading this. Look at there. He says in verse 9, how do we know he's talking about them speaking against him and their curses? Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. He says, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it. Upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow in the midst. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart from not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in company. Now, he's particularly talking about Ahithophel, who had been his counselor who turned against him. But he says here, look at this, verse 7, let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Yeah, nice prayer for his enemies there, right? He was definitely in the midst of a battle, right? And look what he goes on to say. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So he's understanding, how am I going to win this battle? In prayer, spending time with the Lord. I'm going to cry to the Lord evening, morning, and noon. Look at what he says in verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. Now look what he says about these enemies of his. He says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. The war we fight, a great part of it is from the mouths of other people, even Christians. How many of you know this? If a Christian says they're praying for you, if they're not praying blessings and for God's will to be done in your life, and they're praying their will to be done, they're no different than a witch. A witch, when a witch is speaking against you, they're wanting their will to be done in your life. I call it voodoo prayers from Christians. But how many people, like, for instance, start praying, I do it all the time. We're praying that you will wake up to Torah. And then, you know what I tell them? I break that curse off me in Jesus' name. Why? Because I know you're not praying the will of God for me. I'm fully awake. Right? I fully have studied this. I know what it's about. So I don't need your prayers. Why don't you just pray God's will be done in my life and bless me, and don't try to pray your desires upon me. Right? But that's what witchcraft is. Now let's keep going here. Let's look at this right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Y'all don't mind studying this a little bit. So I'm going to show you why I'm addressing this today, just a second. But of course, this is in the chapter 1. 2 Timothy 3. In verse 1, he says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then starts going down through all these things. And so we get here, and he says this. We'll just read verse 12 and 13. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers, underline that word, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you look this up in the Greek word is goes. It means an imposter who mutters spells. So what he's saying here is that basically witches and warlocks who mutter and utter spells are going to increase in the last day. They're going to be wax worse and worse, right? And how does he say we overcome that? He goes, continue in the scriptures. Stay in the word. Speak the word. Believe the word. All right, let's keep going here. Now, here's Breitbart. This is an article just from like 2 days ago. Witchcraft booming in U.S. More witches than Presbyterians. Now, I'm not surprised at that. When any church calls itself the chosen frozen, it's bound to start dying on the vine, right? Calvinism's killing this group here. But still, witchcraft is growing. The Presbyterian church is declining, right? Let's keep going here. I mean, the Daily Wire, American witchcraft rises as Christianity declines. I really ought to read that article to you, though. CNN Style, look at this. They did a whole, I just put one picture up, but it was a whole photo shoot of witches in America. Intimate photos of modern-day witches across America. All right. Brooklyn witches are planning to put a curse on Brett Kavanaugh. Oh, and this was black magic. They were cursing him to death and destruction. All right. Here's another one. Each month, thousands of witches cast a spell against Donald Trump. How the witches of the magic resistance rise up against the Trump administration. I went to actual witchcraft website. This is blackwitchcoven.com. Not exactly, a Christian website here, right? Notice it says hexes and curses put on others. Curses are advanced black magic. Just so you see, they said I personally have no issues with hexes or placing a curse on a deserving person. Over there, you can see on the far right side there, you can choose to be a victim or you can choose to protect yourself. Let the higher power decide who will be the victor. Until then, it's game on. Now, can I ask you a question here? Do you think witchcraft would be growing in America if there was nothing to it? No. We got to stop thinking these things. Let me tell you, I've been to Africa several times. I've been to the island of Mauritius, where there's Hinduism that worship Kali, the goddess of destruction and death, right? I've seen some stuff, all right? The people, the Christians in Nigeria, where I went, they'll flat tell you, do the witch doctors have power? Oh, yeah, they have power. Now, they've learned to fight against it, and they know in Jesus they have more power as true born-again, spirit-filled Christians. But they don't walk around like stupid Americans going, witches have no power, voodoo has no power, curses have no power, they can't affect me, blah, 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 blah. Playing with the stuff can't affect me. Opening my home to something can't affect me. These people know that it does have an effect, or they wouldn't be doing it. They know, they've seen the power and the demonstration of Satan's power and demonic power in their spells and curses, or they wouldn't go through it, all right? And you need to get that understanding. There are witches and Satanists, high-level Illuminati, Kabbalists, across the board, who are constantly cursing Christians, true Christians. And the more noise you make in the world for Jesus, the more attention you're going to get from these people. You just need to understand that. It's real. It's a real battle. Let's keep going, just so you see for yourself. We'll skip over that. We'll go to this. Here's another article. Look at this. Curses and crystals meet the modern witches. I mean, zoom in on this. Can't see it real good, but you can see the shadow from her pentagram. One of the most powerful symbols of Satanism right there. The five-pointing star with a circle around it is a pentagram. The goat, the Menendez goat or whatever it is, Baphomet symbol, right? But they go through talking about how witchcraft is growing in the UK and putting curses and spells on people as simple as writing down your intention, performing a ritual like lighting a candle, skulls, altar, spell books, on down the line. Do you think, again, would this be growing in America, the UK? There was nothing to it, no power to it, no evidence from it. I mean, you think about it. I mean, you wouldn't be a Christian, you wouldn't be following Jesus if you hadn't had the witness of the Holy Spirit in you that you're a child of God. I mean, granted, there's a lot of people go to church and it's just a creed or a belief they have. But most people aren't into something that they can't say, there's some reality to it. There's some truth to it. All right? Let's keep going here. Here's the traveling witch. Cursing 101, three types of curses you need to know. You're going to find this interesting because of what you told me, something happened in Denver here. They talk about quick curses that they can use against you because they have quick ones and they have ones that are take long period of time to develop. But isn't it interesting? One of them is spitting on someone. Didn't you have a demon-possessed woman walk by you in Denver on the street and go, spit on it or something like that? Was talking about spitting.
And I never knew this, but I knew immediately that was a demon.
Yeah, demon manifested. Look at this. Spitting is a powerful form of cursing. It takes a lot of effort to work up enough saliva to spit on something while not taking up a terrible lot of time. So a lot of intent can be worked into one little action. Obviously, spitting on someone would be the most direct form of cursing them, but that's quite an inflammatory move and is actually illegal. So I don't recommend it. Instead, you can spit in front or behind the person you're trying to curse. Alternatively, you can spit on something of the person's that belongs to them that will come in direct contact to them, like a door or handle or chair. And they actually have this other stuff. I'll say this. They actually have what I found on my door, our front door. It's stuff, a mixture they'll make up called goofer dust. They're basically putting a curse on you, and they'll put it on your door or put it on your door handle of your car. I mean, I've dealt with this stuff for years like this. Another one, they talk about the evil eye, just a certain look, you know, you give. This is interesting, though. I want you to see this. Verbal curses. Quick verbal curses are easy, let's say easy and effective, right? Easy and effective. Verbal curses. She said, to the point, she said, I'm not going to go into detail about this because it's just easy to do. They just speak something. What they're understanding, what the principle we just read a minute ago, right? Proverbs 18:21, what does it say? Death and life in the power of the tongue. They understand this. They understand there's power in words. There's power in the tongue. Written curses, simply writing on ill intent of a slip of paper and stashing it near or on your target can lend excellent results. There are other forms of curses that can be written through. Small curse sigils, I don't know, doodled innocuously on sticky notes, dirty car, windows, walls, so on, work. Well, especially if the sigil is made ready-made for the use in such instances, writing one or two vindictive words. She also goes into talking about cursing objects, long-form curses, cursing objects that you're going to come into contact with. Now, here's what's interesting. One of our ministry school students, Jonathan Moore, he lives over in Georgia. He runs a gym, and he's been very vocal about Jesus in his gym. He's very outspoken about the gospel, about Jesus, and he had a whiteboard that was up, a big, huge whiteboard, and people would write, you know, notes on it. They'd leave markers out, you know, dry erase markers out, and people could write stuff. Well, he said he noticed that, you know, most people were writing Jesus loves you, or, you know, there's a lot of Christians, and they know he's a Christian. He said, but then he noticed, he's like, somebody started writing, Satan loves you. And then he said, and there was some, like, an upside down cross put on it one day. And then he said he saw that there was like a stick person drawn out, laying flat with, you know, a head on it, but with the eyes, X's, like dead. And he said he walked by that and he just knew that that curse was for him. So he said he broke that curse in Jesus' name and erased the board. And he said, and he took the dry markers up, took them away from it. But as his story goes, he said a little while later, he said, you know, we've gone through this back and forth thing because people love the dry erase board. So he said, they'll say, well, can we put the markers back out? So he said, finally put the markers back out. Well, the next thing he knows, another stick person drawn. This time it had some words beside it, and I won't go into all that. But he said he saw it, and he knew it was a curse on him. Now listen to me closely. This is his testimony. We were on the phone the other night for a couple of hours talking about all this that he's going through. I'm not even going to be giving you the half of what he's been going through. All right? But he said he saw it and he knew it was a curse on him, written, that one of these written curses. But he was busy with a customer and forgot about it and didn't pray against it in Jesus' name and break it and bind the demons associated with it. He said he forgot about it and was with his customer a few hours later. All of a sudden, he is struck, he said, with the most severe pain he's ever suffered in his life. Put him on his knees. Now, this guy is a bodybuilder. This guy is in shape, right? Put him down on his knees. And he said, all I can tell you is I felt like I was going to die. I called my wife and, like, you got to take me to the hospital. I mean, he's like, he said, the only thing I could imagine, he said he was in such pain that he said the only thing he's heard that's that painful would be like passing a kidney stone or something. But he said just in his body, and he thought, something's trying to kill me. And so his wife comes and gets him, and as they get out of the building, and he begins to think about it, it's like, that curse. So they pray against it and break the curse in Jesus' name. And the pain starts to go to the point he's like, yeah, we don't need to go to the hospital anymore. But see what passivity did? Passivity to it gave place to it. And he's been in a real battle. In fact, where's my phone? I forgot about this picture, but he sent this to me because he found this on his property, and I'll walk up to the camera with this in just a second, but he found this on his property because they'll leave stuff, objects on your property too to curse you. And he found this particular thing I'm going to show you. This is straight out of a voodoo shop because I walked through the voodoo shop on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. Let me pull this up for you here. You guys need to see this. Because you just think it's just crazy. Y'all see this? This is what he found on his property. Now, where that was left, it was right behind his pool house that caught on fire. And he said he could tell it had been there for a while. Everybody see that? See the creepy teeth thing? There, can you see it? Let everybody see it right there. Yeah. He found that in his yard. Now, I've had friends of mine find little altars in their yard, candles. They've been burnt where somebody, maybe a witch or two, have met together and burned candles and done their little meeting on the outskirts of your property. I mean, we've had stuff left in our yard. So this is real. This is going on. Now, let's keep going here. And again, she's talking about objects. I won't go through. Now, let's read these two verses before we get into this a little bit more. Hosea 4:6, he says here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But there's another way you can be destroyed. It's when somebody gives you the knowledge and you reject that too. Right? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant to his devices. Well, what's the flip side of this coin? If you're ignorant to his devices, what? Satan can get that's what he's looking for. He's just looking for a place. He's just looking for an open door, a spot. And that can come through ignorance. It can come through passivity. All right? Now, let's look at this right here. Isaiah 54:17. Look at this. He says, again, in the context of spiritual warfare, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This is the Lord speaking to his people. He says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Does he say, I'll condemn it? No, he says, you condemn it. I'll show you what that means in a second. He says, every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. What is that heritage? Your inheritance. All right? Again, the Lord is consistent. He's not saying, I'm going to do it for you. You condemn it. Let me show you what the word condemn means here. The word condemn, the Hebrew word rasha, right, or rasha. And here's what it means. To disturb, to violate, to make trouble, to vex, basically to commit, to deal with. And it almost looks like, it's a terrible word, right? I mean, it's like you wouldn't want this coming at you. But this is what he says that you do to a tongue that rises up against you. You condemn it. You disturb it. You trouble it. You speak against it. This is that part of it. You don't just sit there and take it. Remember he said, let's back up and look at that verse again. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You vex it. You disturb it. You attack it. You don't sit by and let it attack you. All right, now let me show you how this works. All right, it's not hard to do. And in fact, the more knowledge you have of how these people operate, the better you can deal with these things. But this is what I do frequently because I know the level of witchcraft being done against me. I address it specifically. I've shared this story many times. There were years ago, I was getting attacked. I was under such oppression of the enemy that everything David was talking about, Psalm 55, it was on me. Like, and I couldn't get it off. I was living for the Lord. I wasn't goofing around. I wasn't living in sin. I was just being attacked. I mean, in depression and heaviness and I'm just darkness and I was feeling anxious and I was just, stuff was going bad and even a lot of accidents were happening in the house with the kids and I'm like, what is going on? You know, and I'm praying. I'm getting up and praying in the mornings. I'm praying at night. You know, what is happening to me? And I'm saying I'm breaking curses and I'm binding demons and nothing's changing. And so finally, one day I just said, Lord, okay, what is going on? Something's wrong. I'm not addressing it correctly or something. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. I heard the Lord speak to me crystal clear. And he said, son, he said, 200 witches have agreed together to pray against you together. Break their curses off of the 200 witches. And the moment I said, in the name of Jesus, I break the curses, spells, and rituals of these 200 witches against me. I break their curses in Jesus' name. It all lifted off. The heaviness, the terror, this darkness that had just rested on me for a whole week. Can you imagine what I deal with now? That was before YouTube and Facebook. Right? Before social media. Oh, yeah. You need to break curses. I specifically, when I have seasons of warfare prayer, which is just about every day, part of my prayer time is binding demons and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, binding them in Jesus' name, breaking their power off of me, my wife, my children, my church family, people that I have a lot of people I pray for. And I break specific curses. And there's been times, I remember one time I was praying and I was, again, I felt an intense witchcraft attack and oppression against me. And I remember I started praying against Illuminati curses and high priest, Satan, a particular high satanic high priest, like I saw him in my mind when I'm praying. And the Lord said, break his curses. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, he's using Babylonian and Egyptian witchcraft against you. And I said, in Jesus' name, I break his Babylonian and Egyptian curses off of me. And it lifted off. Not too long ago, when I start confronting this Torah stuff in extreme, because some of these Torah leaders are into the Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah is Jewish Satanism. That's all it is. It's Jewish witchcraft, Jewish mysticism. Like I said, Jim Staley, that guy, he quotes directly from the Kabbalah in his teaching, word for word, right? So when I started confronting this in the last few weeks, of course, I could feel one day, I just walked in my house, no, nothing out of the ordinary this day, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, I start getting almost just like violently nauseated. And feel like I'm like something's attacking me in my heart, like something's trying to give me a heart attack. And I knew it was the curses and hatred. And the Lord spoke to me, Kabbalah. And I sat there and I thought, usually sometimes I can just say, I break this off and rebuke it in Jesus' name. I bind the demons. You know, I just and then just keep kind of going on. This was so heavy, and this was such a powerful attack. That I just left them. They were in the den. They didn't even know. I said, I got to go pray. And I had to go to my room, and it took about 30 minutes of breaking Kabbalah curses and witchcraft against me in Jesus' name, and it finally stopped. Because actually I was preparing to a post about some people. And so I'm telling you, this stuff is real. And this is what a lot of people, this is why it's so dangerous too, hatred. When a person has hatred in their heart for you, why do you think the Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer? Why do you think that's in there? Because I'm going to tell you, that poison in their spirit, that hatred in their spirit, literally attacks you physically, mentally, emotionally. I had one of my pastors when I was a young man was Dr. Larry Lee. I went to his church in Rockwall, Texas. Now, when he was a younger man, his pastor was a man by the name of Howard Knantzer. He was the pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Massive church. Well, what happened was during the 70s, the 1970s, when the charismatic movement was rolling, that pastor got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. A Baptist now, Baptist pastor of a big Baptist church. So he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they start praying for people in the church to get healed, and people start getting healed. He said, you know, he said the problem wasn't that we were praying for people to be healed. The problem was they were getting healed. He said, so then we got kicked out of the Baptist Association, you know, the Baptist denomination. They kicked the whole church out, right, because people were getting healed, right? And God forbid, and people were speaking with tongues and getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, oh, we kicked them out. But he said, this is what Larry Lee said. His pastor, a number of years into, he said it was a great revival. He said his youth group went from like 100 to 1,000 in the time period he was there. I mean, it was he says it was a move of God. It was a revival there in Dallas. But he said the pastors that had been friends, the Baptist pastors that had been friends with his pastor, just turned against him. And he said they hated it because, you know, they were taught against the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they were taught against this stuff. And you just didn't do that stuff in Baptist church. Everybody just, right? But he said their hatred was just vicious toward him. And his pastor got cancer and died. Now, you can believe this or not believe this, but I tend to believe Larry. He said, I'm going to tell you, because Larry was a man of prayer, and he said, I'm going to tell you. I'm just repeating the story. He said, the Lord showed me that it was their hatred that killed my pastor. Because his pastor didn't know, and he said his pastor didn't know about deliverance and spiritual warfare and binding and breaking curses. But you think about it, hating someone because they believe the Bible. They just believe the parts you don't want to believe, right? And that's why I believe it says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, because literally you are cursing them. You really desire bad things to happen, and it makes you no different than a witch, a Satanist, a Kabbalist, or anything else. But the more you know, listen, I know that Satanists do cage curses. They do destruction rituals. They do pentagram and hexagram curses where they get in the circle and curse you. They do animal sacrifice, human sacrifice, all kind of blood rituals. I know this sounds terrible, but I break their curses against me all the time in Jesus' name. Very specifically, I break their curses off of me. And especially when I know there's one or two in particular that I know are coming at me with something, I name them. I say, I break their curses in Jesus' name. I bind the demons in them. I forbid them to operate against me, my wife, my children, my family, my church, my ministry. I break their curses off in Jesus. I bind the demons they're sending. I bind the spirits of strife and division. I bind the demon spirits of jealousy and hatred. I bind the spirits of witchcraft and divination. I bind these demons in Jesus' name. I rebuke them. I command them to go from us. Leave now in Jesus' name. I break their word curses off of me, of death and destruction, accidents, injury, sickness. See, this is a real, we're in a real battle with this. Now, the good news of this is, if you do it, you're going to see some changes. You're going to see some breakthroughs. I think I told Jonathan on the phone, man, Jonathan Moore, our student, he's going through, I can't even tell you all the battles he's been going through, dealing with these Satanists and these witches and these people cursing him and his property and his family. But he's doing what he needs to do. It's like a battle rises up. And because he's learned to fight, he's fighting it in Jesus' name. He's asking his brothers and sisters to pray for him and agree with him. And he's fighting it in Jesus, and then he'll win. He'll break through. It's like his child was being attacked with these horrible dreams. And he said, I found that in the yard, and I broke that curse, and I prayed over my house and anointed my house with oil. And You know, and he said, the nightmare stopped. You know, and so what I'm saying is if you fight, you can win in Jesus' name. If you're passive or stay ignorant, then you're going to lose. And you say, well, I'm a Christian. You mean I can? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can lose. Now, here's the good news. You can lose a battle. It doesn't mean you lose the war. Right? But I can tell you this much right now. You don't have to even lose the battles. You may go through some trials, but you don't have to lose. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to deal with kids being sick or dying or in accidents or people be, you know, serious injury and all this stuff. So all I can say is please take this seriously. Binding. I know some of you grew up in, you know, you grew up in churches and that didn't, you know, Sheree, you didn't. I'm sure you guys didn't either. You didn't grow up in churches that taught this. Because they were taught, their pastors, they were trained against it. You know, they were trained against doing it. And they said, oh, it's silly. You know, we're Christians. They can't touch us. See, that's just naive. That's just, you know, Pollyanna stuff. No, we're in a fight. You got to be doing something. Active. And sometimes the battle is going to be intense and you're going to have to add some extra prayer time and some fasting with it to get through it. Amen? Well, I'm not going to go any longer, see? Look at that, 1 hour. That's good for me. Everybody thinks, what happened? What went wrong? But I do want to do this. Before we go anywhere today, let's stand and do this. Do you have, there's healing in your glory? Because I feel like there's some people, I want to pray. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you, Misty, healing, that we're supposed to. Does anybody else need healing in their body or prayer for something? If you do, when he puts this on, I just want you to come stand up here, either right here or right here, and we're going to anoint you with oil and pray for you. I don't see, where's my anointing oil in here? Because I am an elder in the church. I officially qualify. I don't know why it's not here. It might be. Ah, here it is. Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, let's do that here. We're doing another Lindell song this morning. And let's stand. And if you don't need prayer this morning, then just agree that those who need healing this morning will be touched. I know we need to pray for Patrick this morning. He's got a problem, an issue with his back that's going on. And those of you watching out there, we're going to pray that you'll be healed. We had a brother in Arkansas watching a number of months ago and had injured his back terribly and was instantly healed just watching. And Kevin Hart, that was at the conference, yeah. They're watching this morning, I'm sure. Praise God. All right. But you can come on up here. I know we're praying for you. I felt that when I got up and prayed this morning. All right. All right. Well, let's pray real quick. And then we'll do. Father, I ask you, Lord, to let your healing power flow this morning. I pray, Lord, that you touch each and every person that's been watching, listening. There's someone out there, Lord, too, that's watching this morning, or maybe they're watching later. Lord, we pray, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus. You're the Savior, you're the healer, you're the deliverer. And it's by your stripes we were healed. It's been bought and paid for. So, Lord, I ask you to touch people that are out there that need your healing. Father, right now we break every curse off of them, every word spoken against them by enemies, even by Christians with misguided attitudes. We break curses off of people right now. We bind demon spirits of infirmity and sickness and disease. We rebuke those, command them to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing power because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, right now we thank you for it. Hallelujah. We pray for Misty this morning, Lord. We anoint her with oil in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I pray right now for your healing power to flow through her body from head to toe. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, whatever has gone wrong in her back, Lord, diabetes, anything else in her body that needs to be healed, I pray for healing right now in Jesus' name. I break every curse off of her for her family, people around her that have spoken against her. I break their curses in Jesus' name. I rebuke the demon spirits of infirmity, sickness, diabetes, even back pain. I rebuke those demons, command them to loose her and go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I pray for your healing to flow down her spine, her back, in every part of her body. Let your healing flow in the mighty name of Jesus. For your glory, Lord. There's healing in your glory. I thank you for the testimony of her husband, how he was healed after a terrible motorcycle accident.
Oh,
God, they're in a battle against so many things. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you will just right now, Lord, just increase the anointing in your presence. Just the anointing of the Holy Spirit to destroy the yoke of man. And I ask you, Lord, to refresh them spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, in every way, Lord. And as a pastor, I know they too are very addicted to
Oh,
is a God of miracles.
Is a God of miracles, God of miracles, God of miracles. Well, every head bowed, every eye closed. There's a friend of ours out there who daughter had a severe brain trauma. I can't even remember now exactly what did it, but they're, I think they're still at UAB. But Tammy, her daughter Courtney, I want everybody to pray. They need a miracle. I mean, they need a big miracle for Courtney. So let's pray this morning for Courtney to be healed, for a miracle there. Father, we pray this morning in Jesus' name together in agreement, Lord, this church. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for Tammy, but for her daughter, Courtney. She suffered a terrible brain injury through, I can't even remember, Lord, how it happened and all that transpired. But, Lord, I just know, God, that it did a lot of damage. And so, Lord, we know, God, you're the healer, but you're also the creator. God, you can make brand new. You can fix her brain, her body, everything that happened. And Lord, I know Tammy's been through a battle, that this has been going on now for a long time. And so, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. She asked for prayer this morning, and so we pray for her, and we pray for Courtney to be healed in Jesus' name. For a miracle today, Lord, we ask you to let your miracle power flow from head to toe in Courtney, and to restore her and to bring her back mentally, physically, in every way. And we pray for this miracle, for this healing for Courtney, in agreement with her mother. And we pray it today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I sense the presence of the Lord in this place. He's still the same. You know, that's what I guess I just don't get it. So many Christians, why do they think he's changed? What did he do when he came? And he taught the word. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. Pretty simple, right? And then he said when he left, now here, I want you to do the same thing. Teach my word. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. And the church said, we'll teach the word, part of it anyway. But that other stuff, no, not so much. You know why? Because you have to get out on the water where it's storming. It's not easy out there. You guys know when you step out of the comfort zone, right? All right. Well, listen, we ask only around here, if you have an offering, you throw it in the basket over there. We don't talk about money that much. If you got an offering, throw it in there. But we do ask only that you hug Nick before you leave. That's our rule. All right. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful time, Christmas, holiday. Stay safe as you visit family and friends and travel. Let everybody pray. Pray that prayer of protection around you, whether you're getting in a car or airplane or whatever. And be safe. Love y'all.